1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through verse 9. If you'd like to entitle the message, Joy Unspeakable. Joy Unspeakable. Everybody wants to be happy. There's a lot of talk about happiness, a lot of talk about joy. But for all the talk, for all the books that you can read, all the information that's out there, same way with peace and hope and some other great subjects, along with those things, seem like there's a lack of it, even amongst God's people for many, on many instances. And certainly, just like this past, you take the last 2 weeks, I've talked to people, grown men, one grown man, crying, talking about his health condition and the problems that he was having because of his health condition. I've talked to people about, with their children, having great grief, estranged away from their children, and having great sorrow. You talk to people with financial problems, things that are going on within people's families, their jobs. Just seem like there certainly is a lot of heartbreak, a lot of parents concerned about their children, and the salvation of their children, and their souls, their eternal destiny. And just even in life, I mean, there's things that every day of our life, as we go through life, there's things that try to strip us and rob us of our joy. We've preached through the book of Philippians on several occasions, and we talked about the joy stealers. We think about today, even as we come here this evening, our hearts was quite lighthearted all day. It seemed like that any time that I start to really get lighthearted and get a joyful heart within me, it seemed like the devil wants to throw things, knock it out of kilter. That's just the way the devil does. And you would think we could have a lot of problems, a lot of difficulties. Brother Eric Hammett had been in the hospital for over a month. We mentioned his name for prayer just a while ago. Brother Eric is not, he got home from the hospital. We talked to him today. He's having a pretty hard time. They're still trying to take care of him. Brother Trent said just a few minutes ago, he got a notice, someone there got a notice that Eric has had a heart attack and they've rushed him to the hospital. So Eric is in bad shape. And, you know, we hurt for people. We hurt for people we love, people we care for. So again, there's a lot of things in this life that would strip us and take away our joy. In 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, in verses 3 through verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through verse 9. Let's take time to read. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith and the salvation ready to be revealed the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found of the praise and honor and the glory and the appearing at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. I want to take time to look at verse 8 once again. Whom having not seen you love, and whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unbelievable, unspeakable, and full of glory. No matter what's going on in our life, what trials we be having in life, what trials has been upon us, certainly we can all stop for just a moment and stop and reflect upon the fact that we have such an awesome deliverance that's been given to us. Sometimes we get so caught up in what's going on at the exact moment of life, we forget about the great deliverances, the great things God has did. We let, sometimes we just let one little thing that sometimes is what the old saying, Mom, you say, you make a mountain out of a molehill. We let something that is not really, in the whole grand scheme of things, not really that big of a deal, but destroy us or cause us to have a long face, takes the joy right out of our heart and a spring out of our step. And we just maybe have come through just a great deliverance from the Lord, a great blessings from God. And then we're so quick to maybe get down sometimes. But again, we could always rejoice the fact we've had such awesome deliverance. Understand, we've been delivered from bondage. We have been delivered from the bondage of sin. That's an amazing thing. If we stop to think about that, it's an awesome thing. It's a wonderful thing. Also, we've been delivered from the baggage of sin. The baggage of sin. Sin brings with it baggage. And sometimes I've talked to people, and sometimes I've talked to younger people that are saved and saved at an early age and maybe have lived a pretty good Christian life, biggest part of their life, and I admire them. And I've told them, I said, you know, you don't know how blessed you are. You don't have the baggage that sometimes that older Christians have that's got saved at an older, got saved at a latter point in life. And the devil keeps bringing that up to your mind over and over and over. And the devil says, well, you're a hypocrite. You're not true. And he just keeps putting things in your heart. And he says, well, what's this person saying about you? What that person saying about you? And it's that baggage. But listen, God delivers from the bondage. He delivers from the baggage. He's put it as far as the east and from the west. If it's still on us, it's us. It's not on God. We need to turn it loose because he's delivered us. And ultimately, he has delivered us from the bottomless pit. There's not going to be no hell for us. It's not going to be a place called hell, eternal torment forever and ever and ever. It's just not going to be. In verse 6, we speak out rejoicing the fact that though the trials of this life, though manifold, many they be, you can by the faith and the power granted to you by Almighty God, you can come through in flying colors. Now, I got to thinking about that. I've heard that statement a lot in my life. People say, well, you come through it in flying colors. I don't know exactly what they're speaking about there. Maybe the jockey on the race horses with all their colors, or some of the people that run the races got their uniforms and all of that. The way I always took it mean that you're coming through it, you're bearing the victory flag, you're carrying the victory flag, you're carrying the victory torch, you're the winner. So again, as we think about, as you go through trials of life, and they're not minimal, we don't minimize them, we don't make light of what people are dealing with or what they're going through, but again, by the faith and the power of Almighty God, we can come through in flying colors. You bring praise and honor to your Lord by your testimony of faith and your perseverance. You stop for a moment and think about that. We bring praise and honor to our Lord by our testimony of faith and perseverance. It brings joy unspeakable to know that you have received the gift of salvation. Joy unspeakable to know that you can bring honor and glory to the Lord through a good testimony. Because people look at you and they see that, they know that that's just not you. They recognize that you've been with one called Jesus. They see there's something special about you. Thinking about that just as we go through and look at some, maybe kind of a long list of things, as we think about that which brings joy. Ram, you give me my phone right there. It brings joy to behold others' good works. And it's good for others to behold your good works. That brings joy in a person's heart. Look at 2 Timothy in chapter 1 and verse 4 and verse 5. As we think about watching and observing in the lives of other people, and then for other people to watch your life, especially if you've had a part in their life, if you've had a part maybe in their mentoring them, or been able to maybe even have them in your home, and maybe you've even had a part in seeing them being raised up, or maybe you've been able to minister to them in other ways as a Sunday school teacher, or just as a brother and sister in Christ, and watch them and the good works that they do, that makes us feel good in our heart to be able to see that. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 4 and 5, greatly desiring to see thee, be mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which is dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. The Apostle Paul said, it gives me joy as I reflect upon you, Timothy, and the faith that you have, the faith that was evident and prevalent in your mother's life and in your grandmother's life. Paul said, it's given me joy to be able to witness and to see that. Brother Stoniker, Brother Clarence shared with Brother Stoniker as he's down there preaching this past week, how Brother Stoniker said that he enjoyed, and I'm not going to say all the things that he brought and made mention of a Faith Baptist Church and being a part of our meeting, But he was saying, you know, it gave him great joy. It gave him great joy to be a part and to see what other Christians are doing, what you as Faith Baptist Church are doing with the brothers and sisters from the other churches that was here. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 10, Apostle Paul said, "I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that it now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity." The Apostle Paul was saying in verse 10 that he's rejoicing in the fact that the Philippian people had been able to give him a gift. You say, well, that'd make anybody happy. Well, it made Apostle Paul happy. It made him happy. It made him happy that a church that was relatively, as we read the scripture, maybe was not a very rich church, maybe had very, very little means to be able to do with. But they was able to get a gift and supply things to the Apostle Paul. And you can say again, well, anybody would be happy when you get a gift from somebody. But it goes more than that if you read that entire passage. But we'll just suffice with verse 17. He said this, "Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." So what's Apostle Paul saying? He's saying, I receive joy of what you're doing and beholding. Paul said, because I know as you gave gifts to me, that God's going to give you back and going to bless you for your giving to others. There's never been a time in Faith Baptist Church where we didn't try to help some missionary, help some special need, some church, somebody that had a special burden. We was able to help them, whether it be financially or physically or something we could do for them. You know what happens in our offerings? We never lose. We've never lost. There's been people who said, well, you can't give that. You can't do that. Somebody one time made the comment, you need to run the church just like you run a business. Somebody else made the comment, it's a business, okay. It's the Lord's business. It's not run just exactly the same. You know, you don't balance the books just the same is what I'm saying. Because the Lord's going to give you back. You think, well, you're not going to have enough. It's going to run out. Well, the man of God, the meal and oil didn't run out, did it? So again, what we say, it brings joy to see others' good works, and it does good for us to see good works of others as well as it is for them to see good works in our life. It brings joy to assemble in God's house. I enjoy coming to God's house. I enjoy being here today to say that I'm a little better now. I get mad. I get over it quick, like the one old feller said. He said, I'm kind of like a shotgun. So I get mad and it's over with a while. And the preacher said, yeah. I said, you're like a shotgun, okay? And that shotgun spreads all over and hurts everybody. He said, don't you come in here and act like everything's okay. You go bend up the ones you hurt. So don't do nobody good to get upset. But certainly, you get a little bit upset. It's awful to come to God's house and get upset because these things don't work the way we want them to. It's awful. God forgive me of that. Let me go on and preach what the Lord would have me to do. I feel for what other people are thinking and what they're feeling like and they're listening and trying to be comfortable. That upsets me that things are not just perfect. We don't live in a perfect world. We live in a world that God's in control of. And we just need to do the best we can. We've got to leave in the hands of the Lord. I understand that. But I do like to come to God's house. I like to assemble with God's people. I enjoy being assembled here today. I thank for the ones that are out there. I don't know all that are out there. But I ask God to bless the ones that are out there that are listening in, even here at this hour. In Psalms 42, and even as it goes out on the airwaves, I talk to some of our members who are not able to come to church. They love what we're doing as far as broadcasting where they can hear. They appreciate that. They appreciate even the prayers on every Sunday night or every night at 8 o'clock. They appreciate every bit of spiritual food, every bit of spiritual togetherness as we do live stream, as we're trying to do here this evening, as this will go out on the internet live stream. It'll make where the people be able to listen and feel more a part of the service, be more personal to them. And we want to keep working till we get to be able to do that. In Psalms 42 and verse 4, "When I remember these things, I pour out my soul me. For I had gone with a multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise. The multitude that kept holy day. Again, it brings joy. It brings joy to assemble in God's house. It brings joy to be able to see the saints of God, to be able to share, just to be able to see a smile, just be able to hear a voice of somebody as they drive by, as they sit down there beside the ditch. That does me good. It does me good to be able to see you here tonight. And I would want to see fellowship to be even closer and tighter than what we're able to do. But again, things are in the hands of the Lord. We understand that. We're going to do what we need to do. And we want people to be safe. We want people to be healthy. But also we want to be able to do whatever that we can do, that we can assemble together. In Psalms 43 and verse 2, "For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning? Because of the oppression of the enemy." Listen, sometimes we get out of sorts quite a bit. We get out of sorts. Why? Because of the oppression of those of the devil and the ways and the wiles of the devil. "Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me into the holy hill, into thy tabernacle. Them I go into the altar of the God, and to God my exceedingly joy. Yea, upon a harp will I praise thee, O my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." It brings joy to assemble in God's house. It brings joy to be in the Lord's presence for us and the Lord as well. The Lord enjoys our presence. He enjoys our fellowship. We was created originally to do what? To fellowship with our God. And sin broke that bond through Jesus Christ, reconciliation made. Not certainly like it was in the beginning, but we have a picture in the church sometimes. We have been able to be with the Lord in the presence of the Lord. As we mentioned the other day, we say again here today, when we come to God's house, there's that special presence of the Lord that is with us, unless we quench that spirit. In Jude 24, "Now to him is able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless with the presence of his glory with exceedingly joy." Listen, we're going to be able to stand before the Lord, and I pray that you will be able, and I'll be able to stand with great joy. And our Lord enjoys our presence. He enjoys coming to worship with us. He enjoys to be with us, to fellowship with us. Not that he needs us, not that he needs anything. He's God, but he enjoys that. He wants to be that. He wants that fellowship to be. Psalm 16 and verse 11, "Thou wilt show me the path of life, and thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore." Our Lord meets with us as we come to God's house to meet with the Lord. He meets with us here. He meets with his church here. Are you joyful to be in God's presence? Does it give you joy to come out to the house of the Lord? Does it come out to assemble with God's people? Whether it be in the parking lot service, or whether it be, as we said this past Wednesday, this designated sanctuary as we come to worship, or whether it be back over in our sanctuary over next door, does it make you happy? Does it make you feel good? Are you joyful to be able to be in the presence of the Lord? And then I ask you another question. Are you going to be happy in heaven? You know, sometimes the way that we see that people do things, the way they behave, you have to almost wonder, are they going to be happy in heaven? If we can't be happy in church, if we can't get our hearts right and be in God's house and be happy and enjoy ourselves with God's people, and sometimes people don't seem like they don't want to be with God's people. You see them going hither and to and fro. They engage with a lot of people, a lot of situations, and a lot of things, or maybe nobody. But when they get with God's people, it doesn't seem like they're just so happy. Can't get along. Can't converse casually, comfortably, consolingly. We see that all the time. But we have to ask the question, how are they going to be in heaven? How are we going to be in heaven? If we don't like to come in God's presence to be with God's people and enjoy the things of the preaching, the singing, which the Bible says heaven's going to be full of that, how are going to be people going to be happy in heaven if they can't be happy gathering with God's people? And Revelation 21 and verse 4, "And God sweep all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. for the former things are passed away. What does the Bible say? Joy unspeakable, full of glory. Are you going to be happy in heaven? Are you happy in the presence of the Lord? In Acts chapter 20, verse 24, there's joy in service. I don't think it's just because that I'm a pastor. It was the same as I was a church member. It was the same when I was a Sunday school teacher. It was the same as I tried to work with the youth, go pick children up. It was the same when I was a deacon. It didn't change. But there was always joy in my heart once I got involved in serving the Lord. Now, sometimes I was tired. Sometimes there's other things I wanted to do, other things sometimes I wanted to do, wanted to be a part of, that competed for my affection and for my time and my energies. And I'll have to admit, sometimes I maybe resentfully got started doing some things or taking a part in things. And there might have been some resentment just as we started off. Sometimes I get ready to love to ride horses, and I was more physically able to take rides then. I can remember, guess when a local horse club got started? Guess when they used to have a lot of the rides? Always on Sundays. And I get ready to pull off and come up a road, and there'd be a bunch of horses going up a road. I could tell you that there's maybe a little resentment there. The old devil really prodded it. But you know what? Once I got engaged in the things and went ahead and done what the Lord called me to do, there's real joy that come out of that. There's never been a time that I didn't go ahead and do what the God put upon my heart, what I knew was right, and serve God, that God didn't make me happy. I wouldn't come up here and be preaching and all the time wanting to be somewhere else. I've never done that. Go out visiting. Once I got started, all the devil sometimes is just kind of hard to get going, so you want to put a lot of roadblocks up. But once you get started, it's okay. Visit to the hospital. Sometimes I don't want to go to that hospital. I don't want to go there. I don't want to go be part of that and be around that. Deathbeds, no, I don't want to be there. I don't want to go there. But once you got going, you wasn't good. You didn't feel good about the situation always. But there's joy in doing what the God had laid upon your heart and going in and fulfill that. There's a joy and contentment that's always been in my heart about that. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 24, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel, the grace of God." Paul said, "I have joy." A lot of problems, a lot of situations, a lot of perplexities, but I have joy. And he said, "I want to finish my course in joy. I want to finish my ministry in joy." I've often heard said, if you love what you do, you never look upon his work. If you really love what you do, serving the Lord in whatever capacity the Lord's called you to serve and wherever you can serve, you don't ever look at that as drudgery or work. If you're where the Lord wants you to be and doing what God wants you to do, you don't look upon that as work. All the devil wants to make it hard on you, certainly he does. But you don't have to look upon his work and our service to the Lord. In Acts chapter 8, verse 39, there's joy in obedience. What happens in Acts chapter 8, verse 39? You read of a man that got saved. The Bible said he got saved and he got baptized. And the Bible said he went on his way rejoicing. There's always going to be joy in obedience. A lot of people have no joy whatsoever in their life. Live a terrible life. Live a sad life and a hurtful life. And it's woe upon them all the time. Why is a lot of that? They bring it upon themselves because they don't want to obey the Lord. As you obey the Lord, there will always be rejoicing. Psalms 51, verse 12, there's joy in repentance as a child of God. There's joy. When we get out of God's will and we repent, there's joy. The psalmist says, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation." And the only way that joy could be restored is he would repent and God granted him mercy and restored him to favor. I'm not talking about loss of salvation. I'm talking about loss of fellowship. And he said, "Lord, restore unto me that. I want the joy back in my life." And it comes as he truly repented of his sins. There's joy in heaven and earth over a sinner who is saved and born again. Luke chapter 15, verse 7 and verse 10, we read about that. Joy in heaven over a sinner that repenteth. There's joy in this earth as people are saved. Philip in Samaria in Acts chapter 8, verse 8, there was great healings, there was great salvation. The Bible says there was great joy there. In Acts chapter 15, verse 3, we see the very same. And there was a reason for great joy. Why? Because people being saved. The only thing better than a baptismal service is seeing somebody saved and then follow the Lord in baptism. I want to see people saved. I desire to see people saved. There's people in my family. There's people in your family. I was talking to somebody today. We was talking about heaven, talking about going to heaven. We was talking about wanting Christ to come back and take us on to heaven. And the question come up, and I said, is most of your family saved? He said, no, not all of them are. I pray that they would be. And we do want our family saved. We want our loved ones saved. And there's joy when we see salvation. In Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 6, the Bible says there's joy that's found in reading God's Word. I don't know how much that you read God's Word. I don't know how much of the Word that you take into your heart and into your mind every day. But there's joy. The Bible says there's joy to be found in reading and studying God's Word. In Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 16, Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 16, what do we read? Thy words were found, I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. What does he say again? He said that God's word is a joy and a rejoicing to his heart. Sometimes we don't have all the joy maybe that is available to us because we just simply don't look for joy in the right place. What's that old hippie song? Maybe it was hippie, maybe it wasn't. Looking for love in all the wrong places. I think there's a lot of Christians that are looking for joy in a lot of wrong places, including myself. But we've got a laundry list of things here today. In Philippians chapter 1, first chapter 4, verse 1, people give us hurt. And people do give us hurt. The ones that love us the most can hurt us the most. But you know what? People can also give us great joy. Don't get burnt out on people. Don't get burnt out on people. Sometimes we talk to people that you can tell by talking to them, they're just simply burnt out on people. There's good people. God's people are good people. No, we're not perfect, but that's why we need to be around people that are God's people. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 1, Philippians 4 verse 1, therefore, my brother, dearly beloved, and long for my joy and my crown. Paul said, you're my joy. Where's our joy? Our joy can be found in people, God's people. In 3 John verse 4, I have no greater joy than hear that my children walk in truth. What did we say about Father's Day the other day? What's one of the greatest joys to a father? To know that his children are walking with the Lord, that they're happy and walking with the Lord. Being a good father, being good mothers for their children, your grandchildren, that gives us great joy. And to know that they're saved. There's no greater joy than that. That's true for a parent. It's true for grandparents. That's true for a pastor. That's true for a pastor. That you're walking in truth. That you're saved and walking in truth. Boy, it does your pastor bad when I hear or see or suspect that the saints of God that I pastor are not walking in truth. They're walking contrary to truth. And with the thing called Facebook that I was weaned off of for about 3 or 4 months, about ready to go off again. Man, I don't really need to because there's some good things on there and I can keep up with some things. But there's things I see that just rips your heart out sometimes. Just like it does with you. As we watch and see how our family, sometimes our friends and things they put on the Facebook, what they say and how they react and to certain things, it's hurtful. But when your children walk in truth, and your grandchildren are walking in truth, and you're thinking about their salvation, that is nothing. It's hard to keep you down when you're like that. There's that joy. There's that joy. You can have joy even in persecution. We read that. Acts 13, verse 52. after preaching in Antioch, there in verse 48, the apostles were put out of the city. You know what's happened? In verse 52, the Bible says that joy filled their heart. Why? Because God had blessed. And the persecution of others that come upon them, in spite of that, God had blessed. Persecution came. They just shook their dust off their feet, but they had joy in their heart. Because you know what they was doing? They had another city in mind. They had another people to preach to. They had souls that they believed was going to be saved. Persecution can only get us down if we let persecution get us down. And then we have to think about Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, the Bible says, for the joy that was set before him, persecuted, tortured, crucified. But it was a joy. You see, how could that have been a joy? The joy of a job well done to secure the salvation of the saints. That give him pleasure. He done the will of the Father, that give him pleasure. And even to the hurt of his body and the spiritual significance is incomprehensible to us as he took the sins, our sins upon him and bore the sin debt of all those that ever be saved. What they had have to suffer in the equivalency of a place called hell forever, he bore that sin debt and paid that sin debt for you and I. For the joy set before him, he went ahead and went to the cross. In Psalms 30 and verse 5, we close with this. There's things that can happen in our life. And there's things that will happen in all of our lives. But Psalms 30 verse 5 says this. There'll be joy in the morning. Things will pass. Things do go on. And because sometimes the things don't happen so well that we would like it to happen, and we have a bad day, you know, you just don't throw everything away. Sister Sandy cooking a big supper with many different dishes. If there's one dish that she has that it just doesn't turn out, she don't throw the whole supper away because there's one thing that didn't turn out so well. You know, we got to be careful about that. It's not that we have to go through life being unhappy. We can go through life having joy if we're looking for it in the right place. And if there's things happening in your life even today, if we're not yesterday or today or certainly the will tomorrow, they'll try to take you and rob you of your joy. The Bible says it may be today, maybe for today. The old flesh will get the victory. The old devil will get the victory. But you know what the Bible says? It can be joy in the morning. If we'll be looking for it in the right places. God is our joy. He will give us joy as we obey him and follow him, his word and his precepts. How many Father, just bless here today. Bless the invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.